Hi, you guys. It's Betsy Beers, and I'm here again for our exclusive official podcast, Scandal Revealed. I have a really special treat for you guys. We did a stage table read of the last episode of Scandal, White Hats Back On. That's episode 222. And we did it for a whole bunch of incredibly awesome Academy members Thursday, May 16th at the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Here's the really special part. We're putting the audio of that live event on this podcast by popular demand. You guys have tweeted, you've reached out, you've heard all about the table reads. We always talk about them in the podcast, and we thought it was only fair that you guys, the listening, tweeting gladiators, get a chance to participate in what only a few people actually really got to hear at the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences. So we're going to play that for you now. And please remember, this should tide you over until another really special event, which is the release of the season 2 DVD set of Scandal, which is happening September 3rd. So if you have this podcast, you can just play this a lot, or you can just play some old podcasts just to remind yourself of the fact that we're still here and we're still working and we're still passionate about you gladiators and all you guys who tweet, and that I'll be back beginning next season with a whole bunch of new podcasts. And who knows, maybe, of course, this summer, maybe we'll ask some Twitter questions. Maybe I'll just surprise you with a podcast because I don't have very many friends, and it would be really cool to actually hang out with you guys some too. So without further ado, sit back, relax, enjoy. Talk to you guys soon.
Tonight we're going to try to do something we've never done before, which is we're going to try to show you what one of our table reads looks like. They're usually a lot of fun, but this is sort of a table read without the table. And this is generally when we do a table read, the cast doesn't know anything. They get a script literally live off the presses. And so as they're reading, they're discovering it as it goes along. So you'll be discovering it as it goes along. They already know what happens because we already filmed it and shot it and everything. and it's already aired on the East Coast. There are things in this that you'll hear that didn't make it onto the air. Some things, so you're getting some stuff that nobody else will hear. Yeah, a few things, a few little things. And there are, you know, some great little moments that are sort of special just, you know, for the table, you know, for this table read that you'll sort of get. We've never done it this way before. We've never done it like people in a row facing out. Betsy sort of sitting here like reading for you, like saying less swear words than usual.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But hopefully this experiment will work and you'll enjoy it and you'll sort of get a sense of what our table read process is like and also what our finale is like before you get a chance to go home and sort of see the finale. So I hope you enjoy it.
Episode 222, Scandal. White Hats Back On, written by Shonda Rhimes. When you all watch it, you'll see it's directed by Tom Verica. Act one, fade in. Interior Olivia Pope and Associates conference room night, where Huck, Abby, Harrison, Quinn, and Olivia are gathered around the conference table, still reeling from the news that Billy Chambers is the mole.
Billy Chambers.
I assumed he went off the grid.
If I stabbed someone to death in cold blood with a pair of scissors and got away with it, I'd skip town and never be heard from again.
And that was a little chilling, but it's still just a theory, and there's only one person in the room who might actually know the truth.
Huck.
Huck looks down at his feet.
Billy Chambers had to go. He was a threat, and he had to go, and you made me promise I wouldn't kill him.
And now he looks up at Liv.
So I hired out.
And we smash cut, interior Billy Chambers apartment building, lobby, elevators, morning. We are in scene 48 of episode 107 as Billy stands in the elevators and the doors start to close and we hear.
Hold the elevator.
And Charlie squeezes in just in the nick of time. And then we cut to interior warehouse, night past. As Charlie unzips his duffel bag, glancing over the bound and gagged Billy lying on the floor, naked, tarp. We know the drill. As Charlie holds up a circular saw, considering it.
Yeah, I know. They say torture's like riding a bike. You never really forget how, but...
And running his finger along the blade.
I like to keep my skills sharp. So even though I don't need to get anything out of you, this is a straight-up whack job, just being honest here.
Charlie revs his saw.
I thought first I'd take some old friends out for a little spin.
Mm. Charlie rips the gag off Billy's mouth.
Wait, just wait.
See, God, I missed hearing that.
Whatever you're getting paid to do this, I'll double it.
I know.
He revs the saw again, ready to get down to business.
Stop, please. Think of me as an investment strategy.
And Charlie pauses, interested.
I was the vice president's chief of staff. I have all her access codes, I know all her passwords, and I know where a hell of a lot of bodies are buried. Now, I was going to retire a rich man on the secrets I have to sell, but there's no reason I can't share. My access, your skill set, we could help each other. We'd make a great team.
And as Charlie slowly lowers his saw, willing to hear Billy out, we cut back to Olivia Pope and Associates conference room night, where the team is still looking at Huck.
It's true what they say, if you want someone killed right, you've got to kill them yourself.
Someone stitched that on a pillow.
All right, people, buckle up. It's going to be a long night.
Quinn glances around the office, clearly missing something.
Wait, wasn't Rosen supposed to be getting us coffee?
And that's when we cut to interior town car night. We pick up Billy and David from the end of 221. David nervously holding the Citron card as Billy eyes it greedily.
Give it to me. Do you have any idea what I went through to get this? No, I hold the Citron card. I hold it until we use it. It's mine.
And that was a little Gollum-y, so Billy's concerned.
Tell me you're not going to blow this for us, Rosen.
I am not going to blow this. I'm not.
He glances out the window, parked car nervously.
Is there a coffee shop around here? I'm supposed to be getting coffee.
And as Billy looks at David with something like pity. Interior White House kitchen night, where in the dark and empty kitchen, a frustrated Hollis Doyle rummages angrily in a giant fridge.
Someone care to explain why the refrigerator that serves the pleasure of a flipping president of the United States doesn't have one damn bottle of ketchup?
Hollis slams the fridge door shut and stomps over to a corner table where we reveal Olivia, Cyrus, and Melly, the surviving members of the Defiance Illuminati, as they sit and wait, one empty chair among them, and Hollis digs into the Gettysburger that was waiting for him.
Again, I don't see why we're here.
We are here because we are moments away. This administration is moments away.
We have to stop Billy Chambers from outing Defiance.
And Cyrus is as frothing as Olivia is calm.
From a full-scale nuclear meltdown.
And we need to be on the same page as to how we do it.
And Melly pointedly ignores Olivia. She says to Cyrus,
fine. Correction. I don't see why I'm here. I am no longer a member of this administration.
Bored with arguing, Hollis turns to Liv.
They'll yap all night if we let him. What say we get this show on the road?
Not everyone's here yet.
Heck, what are we waiting for? Old Verna to show? Last time I checked, that piggy was deader than a slab of bacon.
And Melly and Cyrus are still going at it.
Rome can burn for all I care.
Right.
I have been a team
sure.
player since the day
Look, you
he
have
ran
your own
for governor.
Agenda.
I have held my tongue,
like
done whatever was necessary to get him through crisis after crisis,
you and
now
off to from
I am
federal
through,
prison.
Cyrus. I am done.
Because that's
I'm looking
where
up
all
at one person
be,
these days, and one person only. And that person is me.
Woo! Hell, do you think you're...
Because Melly is pushed away from the table and is getting up, only to come face to face with...
Sit down, Melly.
Fitz. Melly and the rest of them save Olivia, stare in shock as Fitz turns to the rest of the group and nods grimly.
Let's do this.
And that's our title card out.
Damn.
Scandal. White House kitchen night, where everyone's seated around the table now, still a little stunned by Fitz's presence.
We've all had our differences in the past, but tonight, we put them aside. We do what we have to do to fix this.
If I may, Mr. President.
Hollis.
Best way to mop this whole puddle up right quick, this Billy Chambers character has got to go, permanently.
You mean?
I mean bang, bang, boo, hoo, bye, bye. Sir.
Everyone stares at Hollis a long beat.
Hollis, you're in the White House. This man is the president. Talking about murder in the White House in front of the president is like talking about sex in the Vatican in front of the Pope. We do not do it.
Well, la-di-da. He wouldn't be the president if I hadn't made him the president, so I think I can talk about whatever I want.
Cyrus leans over to Fitz, speaks quietly.
There are ways of taking care of Chambers neatly and quietly, ways that won't be traced back to any of us.
Do whatever you have to do, but leave me out of it.
No more blood. No more killing American citizens on American soil and calling it patriotism. This has gone far enough.
And he looks to Olivia for her opinion. Melly's eyes narrow, clocking this. Olivia nods.
Billy Chambers is not our problem. Defiance is our problem. It always has been. And the only way to prove that defiance happened is the Citron card. Without the card, Billy's just a previously discredited crazy man with an even crazier theory. We get the card, we neuter Billy, and we put this whole thing to bed once and for all.
And as Fitz keeps his eyes locked on Liv.
Liv's right. We get the card back.
And as Olivia gazes back at Fitz and Melly steams, cut to interior White House hallway night as Cyrus quickly trails an enraged Melly down the hall.
If you would be willing to just sit down and talk to him, he's going to run again, and he knows he needs you by his side when he does.
I will not be humiliated anymore.
And that had a fierce, broken tenor to it. Cyrus actually looks away. Even he can't enjoy that much pain. Abetus Melly gathers herself, then...
I'll return to the White House when, and only when, Fitzgerald can show me that he has learned to stop humping the leg of his whore every chance that he gets. When he can show me that he is housebroken. When he can demonstrate his ability to sit and stay when there's a leash. You tell him he has to beg.
He wants to come back, I promise you. He just doesn't know how to do it. He's a child, Melanie. We just have to show him the way.
And as Melly takes us in, wanting so bad to believe it's true, often already exhausted Cyrus, interior White House kitchen night where Fitz and Liv are the only ones left, Olivia stands, her arms wrapped around herself. Fitz watches her.
You okay? It's a lot. This whole Billy Chambers thing and having to deal with Hollis, he's Darth Vader.
He's not so bad, really.
She tries to smile, but when he moves in, she steps back.
Liv?
We'll fix this defiance thing, and you'll run again, and you'll win, and I want that. I want that for you. It's just... I let myself believe the waiting was over, and now...
The waiting?
4 more years is going to be difficult. I'll be fine. But it's going to be difficult.
We're not waiting 4 more years to be together. We're going to be together now.
Olivia looks at him, truly surprised.
Livy, I'm running. I'm winning. We're getting married, and you are moving into the White House with me.
Okay. There are a million reasons why that's a non-starter.
Here we go.
Are you seriously going to stand here and suggest that divorcing your wife and moving me into the White House in the midst of an election is not a tiny bit of a problem?
It's a problem.
Clearly.
So fix it.
Oh, funny. You're a funny man. You should quit your job. Go on the road.
What are you always saying? That you're brilliant? That you're the best? Better than my boys in the White House? So, do what you do best. Fix it. Handle it.
He moves in, pulls her to him. Olivia's tempted.
I thought you didn't want me fixing you.
I don't need fixing. I'm fine. I love you. The American public needs fixing. They love Melly. They're the ones with the problem. So come up with a plan. Come up with a plan to solve it.
You want me to come up with a plan?
Olivia Pope. Wait for it. Olivia Pope, use your superpower.
And he's kissing her now, making his way down her neck. She's leaning against the counter.
Stop. We can't. Someone will come in. Fitz, what are you doing?
Because he's working his way down her body.
Using my superpower.
Girl. And he goes to his knees and disappears down behind a counter in front of Olivia. We can't see what's happening because we're behind Olivia, but we can guess by the way she throws her head back. And because we're discreet and well-mannered viewers, we drift away to give him some privacy. Exterior Washington, D.C. day change. It's so totally Washington all up in there. Exterior Washington Monument Day. We're seeing a view of the Washington Monument from the Lincoln Memorial. Rowan and Jake sit together. Behind them, perky counter girl from episode 221 lingers, one eye on Jake. Jake is well aware she's there.
If you make it up the ladder, take one lesson with you. Never rely on civilians to do a soldier's job. You think I'd learn that by now.
Duly noted.
It's time I met with Ms. Pope.
Which makes Jake stop breathing for a beat, then carefully.
May I ask what for?
I need to talk to her.
Well, you are not the best conversationalist.
Maybe it's the company I keep. Just bring her in.
I can't do that.
And why is that?
Well, I have a mission to protect her.
From Albatross, not from me.
Can you at least tell me, I just want to know your intentions.
Rowan shrugs his shoulders, disappointed but no longer willing to argue. He moves in close but speaks softly.
Bringing Ms. Pope in. It's a job, a task you're free to accept or decline. You refuse the job, I ask someone else, and I'll know where we stand.
And with that veiled threat, Rowan departs. Perky girl gives Jake one more look and follows him. And off a thoroughly rattled Jake, we end act one.
Woo, woo, woo! Woo!
Act two, interior cable show. Day, where a female host interviews James.
Now, James, you know the Grant family intimately. The president is your daughter's godfather. What's your take on the rumors that the first couple seeing a pastor to repair their marriage?
And as James prepares to offer his unique insight, we go to interior White House hallway day. Cyrus heads down the hall intent. James falls into step beside him. Cyrus doesn't break stride.
Cyrus.
I don't have time.
I just need a comment.
My comment is I don't have time.
One little comment, Cy.
Your press. Press is not allowed back here. You are abusing your personal relationship with me to advance what's certain to be a very short-lived and forgettable broadcast career. There. Now you have two comments.
I'm not abusing our relationship. I'm asking you because you're giving every other reporter in this building scoop, and you're freezing me out.
That is not true.
Oh, really? How did the Post find out the president is seeking counsel from Pastor Jennings about his marriage?
I don't know.
Is it true?
I don't know. Ask the Post. They seem to be all sourced up.
They're sourced up because you are their source. And I don't have sources because you're freezing me out. So in 20 minutes, when every other reporter in this building goes live with the news that Sally Langston has formed an exploratory committee to run against the president in next year's Republican primary, I would like to have a comment from the Oval.
And Cyrus, not missing a beat, his head suddenly about to explode, instantly turns on his heel and heads in the opposite direction. And we smash cut to White House Sally's office day, where a beat-faced Cyrus is letting Sally have it with both barrels.
Your job has only two requirements, Sally. One is to not die. The other is to be loyal to the president. That's it! Don't die! Be loyal! The only other creature in the White House who's got the same sweet deal as the president's dog, Hank. Hank can do those two simple things. Why can't you?
I have a constituency, people that I answer to, people that almost made me this party's standard bearer 3 years ago.
Almost, Sally. Almost.
When they see the goings-on in this White House, it's lack of discipline, it's lack of belief.
Oh, we're singing that song again, are we?
Morality isn't a minor inconvenience, Cyrus. It's not something you scrape off the bottom of your shoe and then continue on your merry way. Mm. Commandments of the Lord are being broken. So at this point, with this president, I wouldn't be irresponsible if I didn't offer the party an alternative.
And even Cyrus can see she's got a point.
You will get your chance 5 years from now. If you wait, if you're patient, if you're loyal, the president will be there for you 5 years from now when it's your turn. But it's not your turn, Sally. So you're going to march to the East Room and proclaim to the world in the loudest, clearest voice possible that the only committee you're signing on for is the committee to re-elect Fitzgerald Thomas Grant III.
And Sally eyes him coldly.
Let me tell you about loyalty, about Supreme Court nominees that are promised me one day and then gutted the next. Mm. About bald-faced lies that are told to my face so your president could run the greatest nation on earth while in a coma. I've seen how loyalty gets rewarded in this White House, so don't try to peddle that doggy treat anymore. Huh. It's way past its sell-by date.
Sally eyes him, feeling all the righteous power of God behind her. Of Cyrus choking back the urge to strangle her with his bare hands. Interior Olivia Pope and Associates conference room morning. Olivia strides in to face the team, including David.
Billy Chambers has the Cytron card. We need it back, so we need to figure out what his game is, how he's going to use it.
Billy's got no credibility in D.C. after the vice president disavowed him. He can't be stupid enough to think anyone would believe anything he has to say after that.
So if he wants to out defiance, he knows he can't do it himself. He needs someone else to do it for him.
And here David has the good sense to look nervous, but...
The question is who?
Billy needs someone respectable, someone with clout, someone who has the public's trust, who was directly affected by defiance.
And we're in Olivia's face as the answer occurs to her. Interior Governor's Mansion, foyer and study, day out of time. And eight ushers live in to see Governor Samuel Reston.
Ms. Pope.
Governor, thank you for seeing me.
Interior Olivia Pope and Associates conference room day, and we're back with the team discussing Reston.
Reston's the perfect choice.
He's still seething over losing the presidency.
He can't help a glance at David.
He's some murderer, as it happens.
The country dodged a bullet.
Go Gladiators.
Interior Governor's Mansion study day out of time. Live and rest and sit. Smiles are tight and false.
Well, it's always nice to see you, Liv. What can I do for you?
I was just wondering if you were planning to run again.
I assume you're not offering me your services.
Never say never. You know how I like a challenge.
She sips her tea and beams. Reston eyes her wearily back to Olivia Pope and Associates conference room day.
I think Billy's going to use Reston to out Defiance. I think they're already working together.
Wait. I'm sorry, but we don't have any proof. All we have is
my gut. I'm sure.
How can you be sure?
Abby, you should have seen him. I'm sure.
Interior Governor's Mansion study day out of time.
I'm not running. Believe me, I think I've gotten that bug out of my system after the last election. So that's it? You were just in the neighborhood?
I couldn't resist a chance to see what you were up to these days.
She eyes him. He eyes her. Then he stands.
Well, thanks for stopping by. We should do this again soon.
As they both covered the tension between them with a smile, Interior Olivia Pope and Associates conference room day.
What if you're wrong?
I'm not. I know this.
We knew that Graydon Osborne was the mole and we were wrong. We knew that Molly was a victim and we were wrong. We could be wrong here.
I'm not.
An off-lived certainty, Interior Olivia Pope and Associates Huck's office day, Quinn at Huck's computer. He's over her shoulder, intense.
Okay, good. Now I just...
He reaches forward to type, but Quinn swats his hands away. They battle for keyboard dominance.
Okay, let me do it. I want to do it.
She wins the keyboard battle, types furiously. Huck hovers. They're deep into the computer screen.
Make sure to...
I did.
And don't forget to...
Right there, I got this.
I wouldn't go that way.
I got this.
Quinn.
Boom. There it is.
There what is?
Huck and Quinn turn to see Olivia leaning in the doorway.
I hacked into the security cameras on the street outside Governor Reston's mansion. If Billy Chambers went to see him there, we'll know. It's downloading now. We should have it in under 2 minutes. I need coffee. Boom.
She gets up, happy, heads out. Huck and Olivia are alone.
She's getting good at this.
You're a good teacher.
Sometimes she reminds me of me.
And Olivia immediately shuts the door and looks at him.
Are you saying... Has she hurt anyone?
No.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying I worry about her, like I worry about you.
Don't worry about me.
I worry about you, with him.
He wants me by his side in the White House. He wants to get a divorce. I'm going to be first lady. I wrote a plan. I was up all night. I handled it.
She looks at him. He looks at her, and she rolls her eyes, revolted with herself.
I worry about me, too.
The door opens, Quinn comes back in, coffee in hand, checks the computer.
Okay, security cameras are up.
They peer over her shoulder as she works, a beat.
There. We got him. Billy Chambers at the governor's mansion 2 hours ago.
You were right?
I was right, and I have to call Cyrus.
Olivia pulls out her phone and dials. Quinn looks at Huck, proud of herself.
I'm getting almost as good as you.
Huck eyes her, worried. Liv has the phone to her ear, listening as it rings. Enter Olivia Pope Associates hallway day, where David pulls out a cell and dials.
They're on to you.
Exterior Lafayette Park day, tailed by his agent, Cyrus marches through the park. He pulls his buzzing cell out of his pocket, sees it's Olivia, then puts it back unanswered. No time. Sits down on a bench beside Rowan.
Always pleased to appear when summoned, but may I remind you that unlike you, I serve the king, which makes me a busy, busy man, and today I'm busier than busy.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I wish I could be more sympathetic, Cyrus, but you have a tendency to make things harder for yourself than they need to be.
Cyrus looks at him confused.
The sex tape, it can make all our problems go away, but you still refuse. Why?
I'm still unclear why any of this matters to B613.
Rowan eyes him.
You know how people say I could tell you, but then I would have to kill you at parties, then everyone laughs? I could tell you, but then I would have to kill you. We're not at a party, and I'm not laughing.
These are two people in love. These are my friends.
Cyrus, I'm handling Olivia Pope. You do your part.
What does that mean?
Like you said, you're a busy, busy man, so you worry about your boss. I'll take care of the rest.
And with that, Rowan turns to go, leaving Cyrus agitated.
What do you mean about Olivia?
Drop the bomb already, Cy.
But Rowan's gone. Cyrus's cell buzzes again, answering.
What?
Olivia Pope and Associates, Olivia's office day. Olivia's pacing. Intercut phone call.
It's Reston.
What's Reston?
Billy Chambers, he's working with Reston. That's his way of exposing Defiance. I don't know what their plans are yet.
Reston? Are you... Reston!
Cyrus looks around for something to kick, something to break, squeezing his phone as if to crush it in his hand.
He's in the Oval. They're meeting in the Oval Office right now.
Interior White House Oval Office day, where an upbeat Fitz is shaking Reston's hand.
Governor Reston, thanks for coming in. I've been riding your senators for months, trying to get them on board with my education bill, so when I heard you asked for a meeting... This isn't about education.
Fitz turns to look at him.
It's about Defiance.
And off the expression on Fitz's face, every muscle doing its best to hide his alarm, we resume phone intercut.
You need to get in there. You need to stop this.
Cyrus hangs up, already on the move, but suddenly he slows, gripping his left arm, then stops, gripping his chest, his face colorless and breathless as he falls to his knees, then keels over, freaking out the pedestrians passing by. Off poor Cyrus, fighting for his life as his Secret Service agents rush to his side. Interior White House Oval Office direct pickup, Fitz is staring at Reston.
Defiance? Governor, I really don't know what you're talking about.
Put me on your ticket.
Excuse me?
Put me on your ticket and this all goes away.
Oh, what goes away?
The proof I have that you rigged a national election.
Fitz's face hardens.
Like I said, I don't know what you're talking about and I think it's time for you to leave.
Reston cuts in emotional but tough.
I'm talking about dignity. The dignity of a candid response. You owe me that at the very least. Your campaign, that election, it ruined my life. My wife is in jail and I live in the shadow of the loss. A few thousand votes that took this office away from me.
I think you better leave.
And go where? To the feds? Draw me a map. I'll walk. Put the Post on there too. Hell, put all the newspapers on there. No sense being stingy. Not when we're talking about the biggest case of voter fraud in the history of American politics.
Fitz does his best to stay calm.
Clearly you think you've figured something out, Governor.
I don't think anything, Mr. President. I know. I know what you did, and I know that your way out now is to bring me on board. We'll call it the unity ticket. Two old rivals coming together to make America right. You'll have to fire Langston, obviously, but let's be honest. Rumor is that that Bible thumper is making a play to jump ship anyway. I'll show myself out. 9 a.m. tomorrow, Mr. President, that's when this offer expires.
And with that, he exits, and we're off Fitz, ready to explode, end act two. Act three, Interior White House Oval Office day, a pale, worried Fitz looks up as Liv enters.
Reston, what did he say?
And before Fitz can reply, Lauren pokes her head in.
Mr. President, I have Mr. Bean.
Fitz and Liv exchange a glance where Fitz hits speaker on the phone, and we intercut with an ambulance, same, close on Cyrus's face.
Pulse ox is 88. Sir, we've got to give you some oxygen.
Reveal Cyrus's shirtless, propped up in a gurney in the moving ambulance, fights the unlucky pair of EMTs who are trying to take his vitals. The Secret Service agent is watching. The EMT tries to put tubes in his nose. Cyrus bats her away.
Get the hell away from me! What did Reston say? What did he say to you?
Mr. Bean, at least let me take your blood pressure.
EMT 2 reaches for his arm, but Cyrus swats him.
It's bad, very bad. How's that? What did he say?
He wants a deal. He won't expose Defiance if we run together on a unity ticket.
Putting Sally Langston out to pasture in the process, that might not be the worst.
EMT reaches again for his arm, and again Cyrus yanks it away, giving him a menacing look.
No! Reston hates you. It is deep and it is personal. He doesn't want to share a ticket with you. He doesn't want to share anything with you. So he's either planning on using Defiance to impeach you, or once he's the vice president, or more likely, he hopes to record you saying something incriminating, which you...
Didn't, of course.
Thank God, thank God. I said get your hands off of me! Off! Off!
EM2 looks at his colleague like, what the hell am I supposed to do? In the oval, we hear a blast from the ambulance's siren.
Cyrus, where are you?
It's nothing.
But it's not, and Liv knows it.
He looks hypertensive.
Are you in an ambulance?
I'm fine. These idiots are telling me I had a heart attack.
Cyrus!
And EM2 finally wrests Siren's phone from his hand. Cyrus's eyes widen in rage. He looks to his agent.
What the hell? Shoot him. Shoot him! I said shoot him!
Back in the oval.
Give me your gun, I'll shoot him myself.
And as we hear Cyrus yelling trail, his phone cuts out, and Liv and Fitz exchange a worried look. Exterior James Madison Hospital establishing day, outside of the hospital. Interior hospital Cyrus's room day. Cyrus is in bed, surrounded by beeping monitors and machines, and he's staring up at the ceiling, hating life, when James comes in. There's a beat where James and Cyrus just stare at one another. Cyrus looks frail and sad in that hospital bed, and scared. James glares at him.
You bastard. Don't you die on me when I'm so mad at you. Don't you dare die.
James bursts into tears. Cyrus holds out an arm.
Come here.
James walks over, puts his head down on Cyrus's chest, sobs. Mm-hmm. Cyrus's eyes water, and we get how scared he was.
I don't forgive you.
I don't forgive you either.
Please don't die.
I'll do my best.
They hold each other tender in love, a beat. Then from Cyrus's chest, James whispers.
Is it true that the president's seeking spiritual guidance about his...
Yes. It's true.
James closes his eyes, keeps resting his head on Cyrus's chest.
I love you.
And off this beautiful moment, interior hospital hallway day where Olivia strides down the hall on her cell.
Reston's not just out to expose Defiance, he's after the president personally.
And we intercut with Olivia Pope and Associates conference room day where the team without David is hard at work.
Okay, so what's our move? It's still about the card. That's the key. It's what makes this case. Whoever's got it calls the shot.
Okay, I'm Billy Chambers. I don't give up the card so easily. It's my only play. I'd make sure I was getting everything I'd wanted before I handed it over. I'd negotiate.
And negotiations take time, and as long as Billy's negotiating...
Reston doesn't have the card. Billy does.
And with that, Olivia hangs up her cell and starts walking faster. Interior Billy's apartment day, where Billy sits across from an anxious David, who's clearly none the happy to even be here.
Look, Rosen, I get that you have this whole... what I've done for this memory card thing. I do. But I can't hold out any longer. Reston couldn't get Grant to confess on tape, so we gotta convince him that the card is enough. He's gotta see it. He's gotta look at it and think about every single vote he lost. So be a big boy, huh? You want this as bad as I do. It's time. Cough it up.
David shifts in his seat.
I just can't. Yet. I will, I just...
And then he says it.
They're my friends.
And that...
Yeah! That's right!
We are friends.
And that, well, that was pretty pathetic. But Billy doesn't laugh or roll his eyes. He nods, and now we see just a hint of the old Billy, that Billy who is Liv's friend, the Billy before the world went bad. He looks at David, truly sorry for him.
And I'm not, right? Your friend? Is that it? I'm the bad guy?
A beat, then.
Well, you did kill some people.
Billy sighs.
Okay, so I got some blood on my hands. But I had good reasons. I had to get rid of the CIA guy. It was the only way to get the heat off me. And that Wendy girl, which I know I framed you for, she screwed things up. So she had to die, and same with Molly. I didn't have a choice, okay? I was boxed into a corner. I was forced to do all of it by your so-called friends. And yeah, I'll burn in hell for what I did. I will. I know that. But you don't have to end up like me. You can get some justice for those thousands of Ohio voters who lost their fundamental right of one man, one vote. For Samuel Reston, who won that damn presidency fair and square, and for you. You lost your job and your reputation and your sense of right and wrong when you fell in with these people. And let's be honest, Olivia Pope and her gang of thugs, they're not anyone's friends. They destroyed your life, Rosen. She destroyed your life. And sure, yeah, she'll end up fixing it for you. She'll break out the crazy glue, but only because she's the one who broke it in the first place. She took your life from you. She took justice from you. Remember? Well, she did the same thing to me. And look what I've become. I was the vice president's chief of staff, and now I'm a freaking murderer. So come on, Rosen, wake up. Smell the justice. Before it's too late.
David thinks a long beat and then so very quietly.
Yeah.
You're right. You're damn right.
Damn right.
And as a broken David hands the Citron card over to Billy, we move to Interior Hospital Cyrus's room day, where Fitz sits at Cyrus's bedside.
Look, I appreciate it, but you don't have to be here. Go back to the Oval. I'm fine. As I keep telling everyone, I'm fine.
I'll let the doctors make that call. By the way, this nonsense about consulting my pastor for marital guidance? Where's that coming from?
I have no idea.
And he's totally lying. Just then, Olivia enters.
Take the deal.
What?
The deal Reston's offering. Trust me, take it.
You want me to put Reston on the ticket?
No, I want you to pretend to. We've all been assuming that Reston has the memory card, but what if he doesn't? What if Billy Chambers is holding onto the card himself?
Do you know where he's hiding?
No, but if we can force Reston to reach out to him...
By taking the deal?
By taking the deal, but demanding to see the card first, and if I'm right and Reston doesn't have it...
He'll call Chambers and ask for it.
And we'll trace his call and track Chambers down.
As Fitz and Cyrus digest this plan, we cut to Interior Hill Restaurant Day, where Olivia sits across from Reston.
President Grant's very interested in this idea of a unity ticket.
Reston smiles.
Chance to end the era of petty bipartisan bickering and start fresh.
It's all the people want, after all.
A beat, then.
The president's also quite concerned about these suggestions of voter irregularities in Ohio.
That's right. Good memory.
Any alleged proof of such activities would need verification before any further steps toward a unity ticket could be taken, of course.
Reston pauses carefully.
What kind of proof do you want?
Olivia smiles, just as careful, not biting.
Whatever proof there might be.
I'll see what I can do about that.
Always a pleasure, Governor.
And as Olivia rises and exits the restaurant, she pulls out her cell and calls, and we intercut with Olivia Pope and Associates Conference Room Day, where Huck's hacking away on his laptop, Quinn by his side.
It's done.
I'm into Reston's cell phone.
Now we just wait and see if he calls Billy for the card.
Off the anxious team, we go Interior Blair House Day. Close on a TV as official archive photos of Melly and Fitz in happier times flood the screen.
What I can confirm is the president is talking to his pastor, seeking counsel, praying for guidance.
Reverse to reveal Melly, watching the broadcast with her guard down, smiling nostalgically as she stares at the photos of Fitz looking enamored with her.
A good sign, and his approval numbers are on the rise as a result, while the first ladies are trending down, with more people now questioning her trustworthiness after her decision to air her dirty laundry on live TV.
Well, those numbers make a strong statement that this couple is more powerful together than they are apart.
They're certainly the closest thing this country has to Camelot.
And to watch it fall apart would be devastating to all their supporters.
Mm. Off Melly, scheming. Interior Hospital, Cyrus's room evening. Cyrus and Fitz heads together, hard at work.
If we give Granderson his Safe Schools Act, the majority leader will hit us hard on gun
control.
How about
you stop working for 5 minutes? You did just have a heart attack.
He stops short because Melly is standing in the doorway, an expensive-looking floral arrangement in her arms.
Melly?
Cyrus, thank God you're all right.
And then she's in the room, making her way to the bed, setting up the flowers and reaching out to squeeze Cyrus's hand.
What are you doing here, Melly?
Officially? I came to visit Cyrus in his hour of need. Now, I know you don't want any cameras in the room, Cy, but they got me coming in. So I was thinking when Fitz and I go down in the elevator together, we can let some press into the lobby.
I'm not leaving here with you.
And for a second, Melly looks confused because...
Your search for spiritual guidance is all over the news. It sells the story if we're seen together.
There is no we.
Oof. I thought you were ready to work through this. Our approval ratings are up, Fitz. If you plan to run again and win, we need to capitalize on the public's support.
Fitz stands, calm and collected.
Melly, this phase of our lives, capitalizing on public support as a definition of marriage, is over. Our divorce will be amicable, and for the sake of the children we will continue to raise together, we're going to remain publicly cordial, but make no mistake, you are going to leave the White House. You'll launch your own political career, and I will back you and campaign for you and never speak of my ex-wife, Melly Grant, in anything but the most glowing of terms. And then, about a year in my second term, I will go on one or two high-profile dates with well-educated, age-appropriate career women. Which will be chronicled in immaculate detail by tabloids around the globe, but none of them will work out because my only true love will be for my country. And when word leaks 6 months later that I have been spending time with one of my oldest, dearest, most trusted advisors who selflessly acted as the mouthpiece... selflessly acted as the mouthpiece of my administration when I was lying half dead in a hospital bed, who has always stood beside me as a friend and a colleague, when it gets out that she and I have started after all this time to care for one another in a way that is no longer strictly professional, America will love her. And let's be honest, my relationship with Olivia is going to spark a real dialogue about race in this country, and it is going to blow the Republican Party wide open and let some light and air into places that haven't seen change in far too long. So the party will love her. And you want to be on the right side of history on this one. Trust me, you do. Now, if you don't want to play along, if you leak Olivia's name, if you refuse to go gently, well, it only takes a few well-placed whispers of the word racist before the feminist groups and the religious groups and even the Republican National Committee turn their noses up at your stink. But I don't want to do that, Melly. I don't want to fight you. I want us to be a dynasty. And I want to help you join me as a living, breathing monument to redemption and second chances and the America we all hope still exists.
And as we watch any hope of reconciliation between the two of them wilt and die before our eyes, Melly simply turns and silently leaves the room. Fitz and Cyrus sit a beat.
I take it Liv came up with that?
She did.
Another beat, and then...
It's good.
Off Cyrus, not at all happy about how good that plan is, we end Act 3. Act 4, interior Olivia Pope and Associates, conference room evening. Huck and Quinn huddle around the laptop, bored. Huck wears headphones, listens in on Reston's phone conversations. They've been at it for a while. The laptop beeps and Quinn perks up. Quinn looks at Huck, expectant.
Reston's calling an aide, telling him to order pizza, sausage, deep dish, large.
Huh. As Quinn sighs in disappointment and rises, we follow her out to where Abby stands in Olivia's doorway, staring in the direction of Olivia's safe, processing something.
20,736.
What?
20,736.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is this... Wait, is this the Abby version of 752?
That's how many possible combinations there are to this safe. It would take days to go through them all. Charlie cracked it in minutes with a gun to David's head. Doesn't add up.
Super spy. Look at Huck.
But Abby's not buying it just then.
Reston just called Billy.
They turn back to where Huck taps away at his laptop.
He's asking for the card.
We were right. Billy still has it.
His signal's coming from a cell tower in Virginia.
A map of the D.C. metropolitan area appears in Huck's laptop. As Huck hacks it, it starts zooming in.
It looks like Roslyn.
Sending forward link pulse to calculate the coordinates. This is it.
We got him?
We got him.
Quinn turns to Abby and grins.
Super spy.
Off the victory. Interior hospital, Cyrus's room, night, where Cyrus half sleeps, stirs restlessly, opens his eyes to see Rowan hovering over him. We're in Cyrus's woozy POV, so it feels dreamlike and hazy. Rowan smiles.
Stress. It's a killer.
Cyrus squints up at him, out of it.
What do you want with Olivia Pope?
Cyrus squeezes his eyes shut blearily, and when he opens them again, Rowan's gone.
Rowan?
Off a worried Cyrus, hoping he just dreamt that. Interior Olivia Pope, night. Phone to her ear, Olivia's on her sofa, wine and popcorn present.
We got Billy Chambers. My people are on it. We should have the card by morning.
Intercut with Interior White House Oval Office night. Fitz sits at his desk, a briefing book open and abandoned in front of him. He's on the phone.
Thank God. That's great news.
How's he looking?
Pale. Fragile.
Did you tell him my plan?
He heard it. It's a brilliant plan, Liv. He'll get on board. I'll make him get on board.
There's a long silence. Olivia leans in.
What?
Melly showing up at that hospital to support her worried husband was on the home screen of every site 5 seconds after it happened.
I didn't want her there. I don't even know why she came.
Cyrus is why she came. If not directly, then indirectly. It was Cyrus. It's always Cyrus.
Okay. I realize we're on high alert with defiance, so maybe you don't hear yourself, but our friend just had a heart attack.
And if he could have, he would have had that heart attack on live TV so you could do CPR while Melly lovingly mopped your brow.
Everything... Everything is not a political move.
It is when we're talking about Cyrus. He wants you and Melly back together. If you're going to run again, he planted the stories about you seeing the pastor, didn't he?
Fitz is silent.
You're worried about him. You love him. You don't want him to die. I feel the same way. But that doesn't mean... that doesn't change the fact that he's still Cyrus.
And Fitz sighs, tired. She's right.
If you put your hand close enough to the cage, you will bite it off.
If we have a plan, Cyrus has a bigger plan. You want to come here and sleep?
I wish I could. But the agents I trust aren't on tonight. What will you do instead?
I have a very exciting life, mister. I don't need you. Bye.
He grins.
Bye.
They hang up. Olivia sits there, looking at her exciting popcorn and wine. And then just out of the corner of her eye, she senses movement, hears a small sound, turns her head to see her doorknob slowly jiggling left to right. Someone's out there. And Liv puts down her wine and moves towards the door slowly and quietly, then leaps forward and deadbolts the door. Then she steps back as things progress from the doorknob jiggling to the entire door rattling, shaking in its frame. Somebody is clearly trying to break in. As Liv keeps one eye on the shaking door, she quickly reaches for her phone, starts to dial 911, but before she can finish, a hand moves into frame behind her and clamps over her mouth. It's Jake. And we realize that he's been hiding in her apartment the entire time. And as he looks out and puts a finger to his lips, keep quiet. The door bursts open and a perky counter girl from episode 221 is standing there, gun in hand. And when she sees Jake, she points it at him, but she's too slow. Jake's already shot her dead. And that's interior Billy's apartment night, where Huck calmly sits at Billy's kitchen table. Quinn enters from the bedroom.
Okay, I've checked the whole place. I can't find the card.
It was worth a shot.
Okay, when do you think I'll be back?
I don't know. This part is quiet. We're quiet here. Sit down, okay?
Okay.
But she doesn't, because it's Billy Chambers' place and the juices are flowing.
You know, his cell signal put him at the Chinese place down the street. That's probably takeout, right? So he's going to be here any minute?
Which is why we're quiet. Sit down.
Okay, then again. Then again, maybe it's not takeout. Maybe he likes to eat dinner there, be around people. Even Billy Chambers probably gets lonely, right?
Sit down.
She does. A beat. Still jumpy. Fidgeting. She opens her mouth to speak. He gives her a look.
I got it. I'm good.
She stills herself, sits like Huck, staring straight ahead, in the zone, silent, waiting. And we hear a key turn in the lock, and then Billy Chambers enters, a bag of Chinese food in hand. He takes one look at Huck, drops a bag of food, and runs back out the door. As Huck calmly rises from his seat to go after him, interior Olivia Pope and Associates hallway night, a frozen, deeply rattled Olivia stares straight ahead as Jake escorts her down the hall. A confused Abby and Harrison emerge from their offices.
Liv, it's late. What are you...
Olivia doesn't answer. Abby turns to Jake.
Is she?
She's okay. She'll be okay.
And he steers Olivia into interior Olivia Pope and Associates Olivia's office night, where Jake quickly moves to the windows in Liv's office and scopes them out. Seeing nothing, he heads for her scotch bottle and grabs a glass, hands her a tall pour of scotch.
What was that?
Drink.
And as Olivia takes a long swig of the drink, Jake glances at her windows again.
What was that, Jake?
Give me a minute.
He's pacing, trying to think. She waits. Then he moves to her, looks her in the eye.
Listen, do not leave your office tonight. You need to stay here with your people. You'll be safe here, I think.
And he starts to move towards the door.
You're leaving?
You'll be safer with me gone.
Jake!
He stops, turns to face her. Olivia takes a breath.
Just answer me one question. Why is someone trying to kill me?
Jake hesitates, weighing whether or not to tell her, because the first rule of B613 is you don't talk about B613. But screw it.
I don't know exactly why or all the details, I just follow orders, but I do know as long as you're in a relationship with the President of the United States, you're in danger. There's a branch of the CIA called B613.
B613? You're B613?
Jake's not going to answer that.
Stay here tonight. That woman I shot at your place was a B613 agent, which means by morning they'll have collected her body. Fix your door, hire security, or, you know, break up with your boyfriend.
He heads for the door, and again it hits her.
Wait.
I have to go.
They're going to try to kill you now, aren't they? Because you saved me.
Because I disobeyed orders.
Maybe I could help you get out.
In my world, there are no outs.
Jake shakes his head sadly, and now Olivia's on her feet, getting between him and the door.
Wait! Just wait. You can't just... You saved my life. Twice now. I was wrong about you. I was wrong about you. You're one of the good guys.
No, I'm not. I followed orders, Olivia. Sleeping with you was my mission. Don't bother missing me.
Abit.
Close your eyes.
And Jake just looks at her.
Close your eyes.
And he does. And Olivia leans in and gives him the sweetest, softest kiss. It's a goodbye kiss, full of regret at what could have been, what almost was. They stare at one another.
Be safe.
Goodbye, Olivia.
And he turns and walks out of her office. Liv follows. Interior, Olivia Pope and Associates conference room. Jake heads out. Olivia stands watching him till he's down the hall and out of OPA, and the doors close behind him. A long beat, then...
What's going on, Liv?
A concerned Abby and Harrison are there watching her.
Huck's not back yet.
He's still on Chambers.
You have your gun?
Always, in my desk.
Keep it in your hands.
Liv turns into her office, and we're on Harrison and Abby.
It's just got real.
Abby. Knots in agreement, and we're ending Act 4. Act 5, Interior Olivia Pope and Associates, Olivia's office night, where Liv is sitting drinking scotch. She's a little bit drunk. She looks up as a somewhat worse for wear Cyrus appears in her doorway, looking quite relieved to see her.
You're all right.
Cyrus, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in the hospital?
Slowly and methodically, he makes his way into her office and settles himself beside her on the sofa.
Cyrus!
I called. You didn't answer, so I sent a Secret Service agent to your house. He saw your door was broken. I was worried.
Someone tried to kill me tonight.
Liv?
Ever heard of B613, Cy?
Cyrus looks at her, wary.
There are things I'm not at liberty to discuss or acknowledge on the basis of national security.
You know what? Don't say anything. It doesn't matter anyway. I know who it was, and I know why, and I don't care. Fitz and I are going to be together.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm going to be with him, Cyrus. We have a plan. It's going to work. I love him.
Cyrus blinks at her, horrified. And finally...
I'm sorry, let me get this straight. You're saying that highly trained black ops assassins broke into your home and tried to kill you, and instead of that, making you run towards reason, instead of the possibility of death making you decide that maybe it's better to be single, you've decided that the killers were merely firing heart-shaped bullets made of bubbles and candy that said hi. That you and your boyfriend Fitzy are MFEO made for each other?
Cyrus, you're being dramatic.
He stares at her. He stares at her, and for one tiny moment, we might think Cyrus is down for the count, about to have a second heart attack, maybe, or slip off into a deep stress-induced relieving coma. But instead...
Really?
And the storm clouds begin to gather across his face. The fire within him starts to pulse and spread, gathering steam.
Really? I'm being dramatic. I'm being dramatic! I have moved heaven and earth to save you from yourselves. I have lied for you, I have cheated for you, I have stolen for you, I have killed for you, I have almost died for you. And you people are so stupid and romantic and high on your own doomed love, Romeo and Juliet, dear diary nonsense, that you won't even save your own lives, but I'm being dramatic? Romeo and Juliet were teenagers and they died. I've had enough.
Cyrus!
He killed Verna Thornton, Liv. Killed her dead. With his own two hands.
And all the air is sucked out of Olivia's lungs. She's suddenly very, very sober.
What?
Oh, you didn't know? You're two. I love him, and he loves me, and our love conquers every obstacle in our paths to find that part out.
I don't know who told you that.
He did. He told me that. The love of your life is a red-handed, cold-blooded killer. That is what you're dealing with. That is who you love.
For one of the few times in her life, Olivia Pope is speechless. Cyrus just looks at her sitting there, reeling, and he's not unkind when he says,
"This is not a romance novel. Life is not a romance novel."
And with that, Cyrus is gone. Interior Billy's apartment night, Billy Chambers quivers on a plastic tarp.
bound, gagged, and naked. We pull back, and we reveal Huck and Quinn squatting next to him. Quinn watches as Huck cradles the drill, screws in the bit, and looks down at Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Billy replies with a muffled squeal. Huck leans in, then gently.
We need to talk about the Cytron card, okay?
And Huck fires up the drill, Quinn leans in, and off the terror in Billy's eyes and the curiosity in Quinn's, we cut to interior White House residence Knight, that sits on the couch, feet up, reading briefings. He looks up as Cyrus enters with an envelope.
What the hell are you doing here, Cy? You should be at the hospital. They just let you go?
You yell at enough doctors, they'll sign anything.
Cyrus walks over the television, he takes a DVD out of the envelope.
May I?
What's that?
Reality TV.
And as Cyrus puts a DVD in, we're off a curious fits. Interior Billy's apartment Knight, where Huck says we left him, still kneeling over Billy, drill in hand. And we can tell from the anxious look on Quinn's face that Huck hasn't actually done anything to Billy. And Billy's straining against his restraints, freaked out, pleading for his life with his eyes and his squeals and his grunts. And the grunts and squeals get louder, and still Huck isn't doing anything, sweat and stare ahead glassy-eyed, paralyzed, trying to work up the nerve to do what he has to do. But he can't. And then he's moving off to a corner of the room. Quinn follows.
Wait, Huck?
I can't do it.
But we need that card.
I can't do it. I thought I could, but I can't.
It's okay. Huck, you don't have to.
But she needs the card. Liv needs the card.
No, you don't have to do it. It's okay.
And then Huck, Quinn, gently pries the drill from Huck's hand.
Oh.
Huck sags in relief, a long, relieved beat. And then Quinn looks down at the drill in her hand. And then she's marching back over to Billy. And before Huck can stop her, she's revving the drill and jamming it down off screen into Billy's flesh. And we're on Quinn's face as blood splatters all over her and she shouts,
"Where's the damn Cytron card, Billy?"
In pain. And Quinn pulls the drill back, leans into him, covered in his blood.
I'm not going to ask you twice.
And Huck is looking at her wide-eyed and horrified, and everyone's breathing hard, and the look on Billy's face tells us she's not going to have to ask him twice. And then we time cut to interior White House residence Knight, where the DVD's playing, and a frozen Fitz is staring in absolute and total horror because on screen, Jake and Olivia are having sex in his apartment. Mm. Good sex. Great sex. And as Cyrus stands by an unreadable expression on his face, we're cutting to interior Billy's apartment later. Quinn's covered in blood, cell to her ear.
Abby, I got it. 864. It's 864.
And we go to an awesome photo burst of Abby checking boxes in a mausoleum until she finds 864. She opens it, pulls out the Cytron card. Off her triumphant look, we're back to interior Olivia Pope and Associates conference room Knight as Olivia watches Abby put the Cytron card in Huck's laptop.
Huck installed an emulator program.
It turns his laptop into a facsimile of a voting machine.
She performs one final keystroke flourish and nothing, a whole lot of nothing on the screen.
Did you do it right?
Well, Huck wrote out the keystrokes for me. It was idiot-proof.
There's nothing on this.
It's a fake. This card is fake.
Interior Billy's apartment Knight, as Quinn and Huck stand over the bloody Billy, who now screams,
"It's the card he gave me! I swear to God, that's the card David Rosen gave me!" That David Rosen right there!
And then we're back to interior Olivia Pope and Associates conference room, resume, and suddenly Abby knows what she's subconsciously been suspecting and suppressing. It's true.
It's David. David played us.
And as they all turn to stare at Abby, we're in Olivia Pope and Associates Knight. Flashback as the team heads out for the night, leaving David behind during his days of being in their custody.
Good night, David. Enjoy the couch.
Always.
And he's alone in the office. Interior Pope and Associates Olivia's office Knight flashback as David enters and makes for the safe. He stands before it, then takes out a notepad. On it, we can see it's covered with rows of compulsively hand-scrawled number combinations, every single four-digit possibility, some dozen already scratched out. He now calmly begins entering the next one on his list. He tries it, it fails. He scratches it out. He moves to the next one, entering, failing, crossing out, on to the next. As we photoburst many other nights as David tries more combinations and fails. Finally, we photoburst the time he succeeds. The safe opens. He pulls out the Citron card. Interior Pope and Associates hallway night flashback, where David's asleep on the couch. After a moment, he stirs awake, only to find Billy and Charlie hovering over him. David's eyes fill with fear as Charlie lifts a gun, pointing it at him. Billy smiles affably.
David Rosen, I just read that grand jury transcript. Man, did you get screwed.
Interior Pope and Associates conference room night flashback, where David's got the real Citron card on the table next to a pile of blank memory cards. As David carefully presses a fake Citron logo onto the blank memory cards and then lifts it up, comparing its looks to the real Citron card. Interior Jake's apartment night, where Jake sits in his dress whites, drinking a glass of scotch, and he calmly watches as his front doorknob starts to shake, just like Liv's did at the end of Act 4. We cut to interior David Rosen's apartment night as David puts on a suit, the first suit we've seen him wear in quite some time. And as we watch, he slips another Citron card, the real one, into his pocket. As he checks himself in the mirror, we interior Olivia Pope's and Toshit's hallway night as Abby furiously pulls apart David's area, the couch, etc., finally opening a small trunk to unearth all of David's notepads with the hundreds of safe combinations crossed off, the extra memory cards he used to make fake Citron card, and a large box labeled For Olivia on it. As Abby looks at the box, interior White House residence night, as Fitz, finally having seen enough, rises, turns away from the television.
Turn it off.
There's more.
I don't care. Turn it off.
It goes from room to room and back again.
And suddenly Fitz... is grabbing Cyrus, furious, broken.
I don't think you want to do this. I'm an old man, and I did just have a heart attack.
Fitz releases him nearly as violently as he seized him. Cyrus shakes his head, disgusted.
Plus, as far as I can tell, I'm the only grown-up in the room.
And then Cyrus strides to the door and exits into the interior White House hallway, continuing, where Cyrus steams down the hall until his stride begins to slow. He makes for a bench and gratefully sinks down. He closes his eye, and we can see just how much all that took out of him. Off Cyrus, trying to recover from what he felt he had to do, we end Act 5. Act 6, interior White House kitchen night, where our Illuminati meet again, only now with Cyrus glaring at Melly, who's glaring at Liv, who's glaring at Fitz, who's glaring right back. And then there's Hollis, who's just downright pissed.
It's President David Rosen has our world spinning on his itty-bitty thumb. Again, boy's been a tick on our ass for over a year now, and it's time we handle the sumbitch for once and for all. Now, I know a couple of hounds arguing over the same bone ain't never meant to agree, so I'm not asking for nobody's permission. I'll take this one by myself. Y'all can keep clean on this. But I promise you, this little bastard will be taken care of the same way we Texas boys rub our brisket. Carefully, properly, but most of all, enjoyably.
Hollis pauses and looks around. Nobody's responding because they're too busy with all that glaring. He's had enough.
Now, what in the potty hell is with you people tonight? This boy has the only remaining proof of our deeds in defiance. We are left with no other choice.
What's Rosen's next move? What's he going to do with the card?
And that's when Cyrus's phone buzzes. Cyrus goes to retrieve his text message.
He's probably marching his pale ass into the Justice Department right this very second.
No. He's reading. He's in my office right now.
And we smash cut to interior White House, Cyrus's office night, where David sits across from Cyrus.
What can I do for you?
It's what I can do for you.
David slaps the Citron card on the desk in front of Cyrus.
Oh, and I'm going to need something in return.
Off Cyrus, ready to deal, we cut to interior Olivia Pope and Associates, Olivia's office night, as an exhausted Olivia returns to her office after a long, long day. And there's a package sitting on her desk. And as we watch it, Liv opens it and takes out a digital recorder. She looks at it a beat. And as she hits play, we hear,
I just can't yet. I will. I just, they're my friends.
Yes.
And I'm not, right? Your friend, is that it? I'm the bad guy?
And we do a photo burst of David back in his apartment, taking off his shirt and revealing the wire he was wearing when he talked to Billy about the card. And as Olivia sits and listens, we cut to interior Olivia Pope and Associates hallway night. Quinn bursts through the door, ebullient. Huck follows behind, stoic.
Did you see his face when I was all, where's the Citron card?
Quinn amuses herself. Huck hangs up his jacket, silent.
I didn't hesitate. I didn't even blink. I just bam, right in his thigh, and watching him beg and scream. It was such a rush. I mean, I've never been on drugs, but I feel like I'm on something.
Huck heads towards his office, still silent. Quinn follows.
Wait, I should be tired. Are you tired? I am, like, fully awake right now.
And with that, Huck closes the door right in her face, and as Quinn stands there confused, we move to Olivia Pope and Associates, Huck's office continuous, where Huck moves to his little corner, where he sat murmuring 752, and crouches down, huddling there for safety as Quinn knocks on the door.
Wait, Huck? Wait, you hungry? I'm hungry.
Of Huck realizing he's created a monster, we cut back to interior Olivia Pope and Associates, Olivia's office, night, where Olivia's still listening.
Okay, so I got blood on my hands, but I had good reasons. I had to get rid of the CIA guy. It was the only way to get the heat off me. And that Wendy girl, which I know I framed you for, she screwed things up. She had to die. Same with Molly.
And the slightest smile crosses Olivia's face as she realizes the point of the recording. We're back to interior White House map room. Day fits in a full room of press, Cyrus in back.
It's not often I have the honor of standing next to a true American hero.
The new angle reveals David Rosen standing just at the president's right side. He's acting all humble.
Ha ha ha. This one man, David Rosen, has succeeded where our justice and intelligence departments have failed. David Rosen found the mole. The mole responsible for the death of CIA Director Osborne. The mole responsible for selling our secrets and endangering the lives of our CIA operatives in the field. The mole who previously, as a chief of staff to the vice president.
Cyrus loves the dig on Sally. Can't help but smile at the Veep is trying hard to hide her scowl as she leans in the doorway listening.
Bitterly attempted and failed to disgrace this administration into ruin. Thanks to Mr. Rosen, that man is now in custody and will answer for his treasonous crimes.
A quick photo burst shows Billy's handcuffed and manhandled by federal marshals as David looks on smiling. And as Billy's being hauled away, shoots David a very, very, very unhappy look that says, "You got me."
It is with great pride that I announce that David will be the new U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, where I expect he will continue to fight for justice.
As Fitz continues, we stand a beaming David and move into Olivia Pope and Associates, Olivia's office, night, as the recording continues.
Olivia Pope and her team of thugs, they're not anyone's friends. They destroyed your life, Rosen. She destroyed your life. And sure, yeah, she'll end up fixing it for you. She'll break out the crazy glue, but only because she's the one who broke it in the first place.
Liv takes something else out of the box, a white hat. Olivia stares at it for a long moment, and then she puts it on, sits there at her desk with it on her head, just sits there with the white hat back on. Off Liv. Exterior DC establishing, the sun rises, interior White House Oval Office day. Fitz stands at the window looking out as Olivia is shown into the Oval. They just stand there, finally.
You and Jake.
Cyrus told you.
Yes.
I thought so. He told me about Verna.
That was Fitz's darkest secret. He has to sit down.
I was gonna tell you that I don't care about Jake, that I forgive you, that that we could start over, start fresh, no big deal. I'm guessing you don't feel the same way about murder.
Olivia's quiet, so.
I wish I could say that I didn't mean to do it, or I was out of my mind, or it was an accident, or I wish I could say anything. Liv.
Olivia isn't even looking at him. She's taking in the room, the Oval Office of the President of the United States inside the White House, like she's seeing it for the first time.
Your silence is awful.
The things we've done to get you here, we went too far.
Olivia, I'm sorry. If you give me another chance.
Whatever happened in the past, let it go. Let your father go. Let Verna go. Defiance is dead. The reset button has been hit. The genie is back in the bottle. You are clean. You can start over, start fresh. Run clean. Run with Melly at your side.
No, that is not the plan.
We went too far. My people, Huck and Abby and Harrison and Quinn, I took them too far, over the wrong cliff. We went so far that I'm not sure that we can get back, but you can get back. Run with Melly by your side.
I want you by my...
With Melly by your side.
I want you by my side. We can do this together. You are going to be my first lady.
Olivia shakes her head, looking up at him.
I can't leave them. They need me. I'm their gladiator.
And what happens with us?
And Olivia looks at him so unbearably sad as music begins. Exterior Washington, D.C. sunrise. The cherry blossoms are blooming all over the damn place. Interior Olivia's apartment early morning. Olivia lies in bed staring at the ceiling. Interior Bolero house day. Melly sits in an armchair reading. The door opens and Melly looks up to see Fitz, a beat. They stare at one another. Fitz stands there torn between running and staying, his pride shattering. And then he moves to her, kneels in front of her, lays his head on her thigh, tender, a beat. Then Melly reaches out her hand. It hovers a moment, and then she puts her hand on Fitz's hair, forgiving him. Tears in her eyes, cradling her husband's head in her lap. Fitz breathes relieved at her touch and off this reunion of America's most powerful and dysfunctional couple. As Fitz sits and stays. Interior Olivia apartment later morning. Olivia in her running gear heads down the hall and out the front door. Interior White House Cyrus's office day. Cyrus is glaring at the Citron card, the bane of his existence. He takes out a pair of scissors and starts to cut, but it's taking too long. So he starts to jab and mangle and destroy. And just as Cyrus disposes the completely decimated Citron card, he looks up to see James walking to Cy's office with a glass of water and a bottle of pills. And he places the glass on Cy's desk, pours out two pills, and extends his hand to Cyrus, waiting until Cyrus takes the pills and sips the water. He opens his mouth wide as if to say, happy now?
I'll be back in 4 hours with a salad.
As James leaves, we go off to relieve Cyrus, sweeping the remnants of the Citron card into the trash. Interior outside Olivia's apartment door, continuous. Olivia gets in her elevator, puts her earbuds in it as she goes. The elevator doors close. Interior, the hole, day, as Jake is thrown into the hole by two B613 spooks. He looks up to see Rowan looking down at him. Rowan's a little sad. Jake grins at him, defiant.
Screw you.
And Rowan nods at one of the spooks, and the cover of the hole is closed, and Jake is left in the darkness for God knows how long. And then we're in the U.S. Attorney's office day, fancy and bright, the big corner office, as proud David surveys his new digs and takes a seat in his bouncy new chair. And he grabs a file, and he gets to work. He shouts off screen.
Alyssa, where the hell's my coffee?
Interior Olivia's apartment building, foyer, day. The elevator doors open, and Olivia comes out, music filling her ears, stretching her arms as she moves across the lobby. As if she were paying attention, she might notice the guy on his way in who stops to gossip with another lady in the lobby. But she's so happy, and the music's so good, and the cherry blossoms are in bloom. So she gets to the lobby doors and steps outside. Exterior Olivia's apartment building day. Into a sea of people, lights and cameras and satellite news vans and reporters who immediately go crazy at the sight of her, who start pushing and shoving and shouting. Olivia can't hear anything because her earbuds are all in and her music is on, and that's what makes it all the more disorienting and surreal. And then she pulls the earbuds from her ears and is assaulted with a wall of sound.
Are you the president?
It's a stunning moment. And before Olivia can truly register that this is all really and truly happening, a pair of men who look a lot like Secret Service agents are grabbing her and hustling her through a crowd of hungry reporters, pushing her and shoving her into the door of a waiting interior limousine day. Olivia is shoved into the car, takes a moment to catch her breath, stunned, and then freezes, staring almost uncomprehendingly at someone sitting across from her. And we reverse to reveal Rowan.
Hello, Olivia.
Olivia stares at him, shocked, confused.
Dad?
Oh!